Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for your mercies and grace. We thank you that we can have a fun time together. And Lord, I thank you that we can now open your word and be encouraged and challenged. Heavenly Father, we commit this time into your hands. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So, last time we talked about David, what was special about David? You remember? A man after God's own heart. And we talked about what that meant. Does anyone remember what that meant? Or have any ideas about what that means? A man after God's own heart? We talked about wanting what God wants. Thinking how God thinks. It says we have the mind of Christ. You know, like I said, about a father with a son saying he's a chip off the old block. He's similar to me. He makes the same kind of decisions I would make. He likes the same things I like. So in a sense, that's what God is saying about David, that he's a man after God's own heart. And the Lord picked him. He chose him. Out of all the sons of Jesse, the Lord picked David to be king. And so I thought we would just take a few moments and talk about what are some characteristics of David that God, why God picked him. You know, what are some characteristics of David? So I think one thing, if we go back to 1 Samuel. So I read this yesterday. I didn't spend a lot of time on it, but if you notice, what was David doing? Do you remember how Jesse brought all of his sons to Samuel and he said, "Here's all my sons." You know, Samuel went through each one of them, but then he said he ran out of sons. And, you know, do you have any others? What was David doing? He was watching the sheep. He was a shepherd. So David was faithful in what he was doing. And, you know, in those days, if you remember, you know, being a shepherd is kind of lowly. It's not a, you know, the oldest son wasn't watching sheep. The youngest one was watching sheep. It wasn't something that was people would aspire to. When I grew up, I wanted to be a shepherd. No, that was given to the youngest child to do. In fact, the Egyptians thought that being a shepherd was kind of a filthy job. It was something beneath them. So being a shepherd was lowly. It was not glamorous at all to take care of sheep. But David was faithful in taking care of the sheep. And so I don't know what you are doing in your life right now, going to school, you know, when in the fall, what particular responsibilities you have today. Are you faithful in what God has called you to, what you're doing now? Maybe it's not the most glamorous thing, maybe it's not the most important thing that you aspire to, but what the responsibilities that you have today, are we being faithful to them? And that's something David was faithful. And we're gonna see how that benefited him for something greater. So we'll see that in a little bit. But take a look at Colossians 3. In Colossians 3, it says in verse 17, Colossians 3:17, it says, "And whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." So whatever you do, word or deed, what you say, what you do, it says, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. So everything then takes on extreme importance. Everything that we do, everything that we say, is now suddenly very important. Because now it's in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it goes on, it says in verse 23, in Colossians 3:23, it says, "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord and not unto men. So heartily, what does that mean? Hearty, heartily. Does someone have a different translation? It's in verse 23, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily. Heartily, your whole soul, your whole mind, you're all in. You're doing it, you're all in for the Lord. Whatever you're doing, whatever you do, do it for the Lord. And not unto men. You know, I think about, you know, one of my first jobs working at a fast food restaurant. And I was doing my job, and, you know, as soon as the manager came in the kitchen, oh, then all, you're busy. You're real busy. Oh, I'm cleaning. As soon as the manager leaves, you're like, okay, I'm done. I can sit back. So in that particular case, I'm doing it unto men, right? I'm not doing my job, you know, because, well, if the manager's watching, then I'll do my job. But as soon as the manager walks away, then I can take a break and I can do what I want. So that's working unto men. But God's calling us to something greater than that, right? It says, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord. Now, does the Lord ever, like, not look or turn away or get out of the room? No, right? He's always there. He's always watching. We do it unto the Lord, not unto men. And then it says, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. So, are you saying that when I'm working at a fast food restaurant, I'm flipping burgers, I'm serving the Lord Christ? Yes. Yes. And, you know, sometimes we think serving the Lord is going off on the mission field, going to different countries, and that's true, absolutely. But flipping burgers, you're serving the Lord Christ. And you can rely on His strength and His power to do it well for Him. Be a testimony for Him. Doesn't matter what you're doing. You can do it for Him and you can rely on Him. His strength, His power to do it well for Jesus. Do it for Him. And there's a reward in that. Okay, so in the mundane, in the everyday labor, whatever you're doing, you do it for the Lord. Suddenly everything has a greater meaning. Whatever responsibilities you find yourself today, whatever you're doing, it has importance. Because God is doing something, He's getting you ready for greater things. So take a look at 1 Samuel 17. So David was there as a shepherd, doing his job, taking care of the sheep. Like I said, it's kind of it's a lowly job, but somebody's got to do it, right? Somebody's got to watch the sheep. But he was learning things. God was preparing him for something greater. So take a look at 1 Samuel 17. We'll read a few of these the passages here. So if you remember, this is David and Goliath. This is the chapter with Goliath in it. So Goliath comes out and he challenges the armies of Israel and they're afraid. Okay, so that's kind of where we leave off. And then we go back to David here. It says, verse 13. So 1 Samuel 17, verse 13. And the three eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul into battle. So the three oldest brothers, they went into battle. And the names of his three sons that went to battle were Eliab, the firstborn, next to him Abinadab, the third Shammah. And David was the youngest, and the three eldest followed Saul. So they went into battle following Saul, the king. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. So his brothers are going off to this glorious battle, fighting for the king, fighting for Israel, and he has to go back and watch the sheep. You know, it's kind of a bummer, right? You know, I want to go in the battle. I want to go with my oldest brothers. I want to go fight. But he had to go take care of the sheep, and he does it faithfully. Okay, now his father Jesse then sends him, so he's back with his father. His father sends him, go back to battle, bring some food to your brothers, bring some food, some provision. So he goes. So in verse, so he comes back to the battle, and he hears Goliath challenging the armies of the living God. And this is stirring him up. Goliath is challenging these soldiers, Israel, and the men are cowering. They're seeing this Goliath, he's just a monster. It goes through all the details about how big he is and very strong, obviously. But this is something beyond, you know, these soldiers. And they're afraid. And David comes up and he sees a soldier. And he's like, I'll take this guy on. I'll take him on. And of course, you know, Eliab, the oldest brother's like, who are you? You're just a shepherd. Like, you can't fight this guy. So what does David say? So it says in verse 32, 1 Samuel 17:32, David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. So David said, I'll go fight him. I'll go fight Goliath. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. So obviously Saul's looking at this young man and he's saying, you're not a soldier. You're just a young boy. Who do you think you are to go fight Goliath? And the verse 34, and David said to Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. So he was a shepherd. He could fall back on the experience that he had as a caring for the sheep. What does he say? David said to Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant both slew the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. So David, he was involved in that job of being a shepherd. He was faithful. He experienced some fights. He experienced some battles. A lion, a bear, all that prepared him for something greater. So like I said before, whatever you're involved with now, what you're doing now is preparing you for something greater. So he was able to take care of the lion. He was able to take care of the bear. He knew God was with me then. He's going to be with me now. In the future, for something greater, for something more challenging, harder. If David never experienced fighting the lion and the bear, he would not have been able, prepared, to fight Goliath. But because he saw what he was doing as God preparing him, being faithful, he was able to have the confidence in God to fight Goliath. Okay, so that's one example of David being a man after God's own heart, being faithful in the little things, being faithful where God called him, doing what he's supposed to be doing, preparing him for something greater. That's one example. So another example is Psalm 19. So David wrote many of the Psalms. And this is one of the Psalms that he wrote. In your Bibles, it'll usually say a Psalm of David. So you know that David wrote this particular Psalm. So there is a shepherd you imagine being a shepherd at night watching the sheep, and what does he see? The sky, right? He sees all the stars. He sees the wonder of creation. He's awestruck by the wonders of creation. And something I think that characterizes David is devotion to God. And that's that's another, you know, characteristic, that he's a man after God's own heart. He had devotion to God. So he's out there doing his mundane job of being a shepherd. He's looking out at the sky. He sees the stars, and it fills him with wonder and awe at God's creation. And it says, Psalm 19, verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. So he would, there he is with the sheep, looking out, like I said, filled with awe and wonder at God and what God has done. And it says, day unto day utters speech, and night unto night shows knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. So what he's saying is that the heavens have a message. The heavens have a message for us. God's creation has a message. And it's day unto day, it's constantly communicating to our hearts. God's message to us through his creation. God's power. And there's nowhere on earth where this language is not heard. Okay? You know what? Missionaries go to different tribes that have never heard the gospel, and yet they have a concept of God. They have a concept of a creator. The heavens declare the glory of God. This is communicating to them. And he goes on, he talks about this wonder of creation. And I can, like I said, I can just imagine him there as a shepherd, seeing God's handiwork. And that's something I think that is important. Wherever we find ourselves, what we're doing, God is always there. God's with us, and we can think about him and how he's involved in our lives and all the wonderful things he does for us. Every day, we can think about that. But as wonderful as that creation is, as wonderful as, you know, we look out, you know, just the other night I went down to the little lake down here and I looked, and it's amazing, the stars. It's not a view you get very often in an urban environment with the city with all the lights. You actually get to see all these stars. It's wonderful. As wonderful as that is, there's something even greater. There's something even greater than that message that we get from the stars. And then, so David goes on and talks about it in verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. So now he's talking about something greater. So this is a theological term. You know, when we look at the stars in the heavens, that's what we call general revelation. Okay, God is making himself known to us by creation. Okay, that's general revelation. He reveals himself to us. But there's something more important, something greater, and that's special revelation, and that's the Word of God. This is special revelation. God has communicated much more to us in his Word. So like I said, we can learn about God from the creation. We can learn, you know, yes, he's powerful. But we're not going to learn that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son by looking at the stars. We're not going to learn that. We learn that through this revelation, this special revelation. So David loved the law of God. He loved the Word. David was a man who loved the Word of God. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect. You know, this word is perfect. There's nothing else in this world that is perfect. In this, you know, this world that we live in, all the things that we see and hear, there's nothing that's perfect. This is perfect. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord, same thing, these are all words for the same thing. The law of the Lord, the testimony of the Lord, the statutes of the Lord. These are all synonymous with the Word of God. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. He changes me on the inside. Remember we talked about how God is concerned about the inside? This will change me on the inside. Okay? I can, like I said, I can work on the outside. I can try to make myself look a certain way or behave a certain way on the outside. But God changes us on the inside. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Do you need wisdom for decisions that are coming up in your lives? Do you need understanding and wisdom? the Word of God. It will make wise the simple, it says. It will give us wisdom. This Word will give us wisdom. He goes on, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. See, there's something, when you get into this Word and God speaks to your heart, it fills you with joy. A joy that this you can't get from this world. You know, we try to get joy from this world, but it's always, it's temporary. It lasts for a little bit and it goes away. It's not real. Okay, remember we were talking about authenticity. What is real? This will give us joy that's real. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Again, it will give us understanding. This Word will give us understanding. It's like turning the lights on. You know, you walk into a room, it's dark. You're trying to feel around where to go. You can't really do very well. You turn on the light. Oh, okay, now I know where to go. Now I know where to step. It's the same thing. Okay. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. This Word endures forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. So righteousness, truth, it's all found in the Word of God. And then it says here in verse 10, and this is, again, this is another characteristic I think about with David being a man after God's own heart. Verse 10, it says, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Okay, think about what we desire in this life. What do we really want? If we really want something, we're going to do what it takes to get it. You know, it doesn't matter what it is. It can be sin. You know, if I want this, I'm going to do whatever it takes to get that. Compromise, lie, cheat, steal. I mean, people do this all the time. If I really want something, I'm going to do it. I'm going to get it. David understood that this Word is to be desired more than gold, yea, than fine gold. This is something that if you really want it, you will do what it takes. If you really want to find those treasures, you really want to find that, taste that sweetness of the Word of God, you're going to do what it takes. You're going to read the Word of God. So here's an example. So I've got 4 kids. They'll say, hey, Dad, I'm really thirsty. Can I have some water? Okay, well, I know. I'll say to them, well, you know where the cups are, right? If you're really thirsty, you'll go in the cupboard and you'll grab a cup and you'll fill it with water and drink it, right? I mean, if you really want it, you're going to do it. So then they, you know, I said, well, you know where the cups are. Like, well, I can't reach it. I can't reach the cup. Okay, and so my response to that is, okay, if there was candy in the cupboard in the same exact spot, you would find a way to get the candy, right? If I really want something, I'm going to do whatever it takes to get it. You know, so this is where suddenly they're acrobats and they're doing backflips on the counters and jumping up high and getting the candy because they really want it, right? You know, but then suddenly when they want a cup for water, they're like, I can't reach it. Ellie doesn't do that. So it's the same thing. If we really want it, we will do what it takes to get it. And David was a man who understood. If you really want it, you will do what it takes. You'll get into the Word. You'll dig. You'll read. You'll study. Lord, I want that treasure. I want that treasure that he's talking about here. I want that. I want to taste that. Sweeter than honey. I want to taste that. It says, verse 11, moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. So there's great reward. As we open the Word, we read it, we study it, we learn it, we keep it. There's great reward in that. And then he goes on, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. So here's another desire. Lord, I want to be close to you. I want to know you. And you know, sometimes there's things in my heart I don't understand. There's sins that happen inside of me I don't even understand. But Lord, you can cleanse me from those things. You know, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Secret faults. Sometimes we don't even know. We don't even know what our problem is. You know? Sometimes we don't even, you know, we don't really understand what our problem is, but God does. God knows exactly what's going on inside our hearts. He knows exactly what we're thinking about, what motivates us, why we do what we do. He understands all those things. Sometimes we don't. You know, Peter, if you remember, the Lord Jesus said, "Hey, I'm gonna die on the cross, or I'm going to be arrested and I'm going to die on the cross." And Peter said, "I'm gonna follow you. I'm gonna follow you wherever you go. I'll die for you." And Jesus said, "Really? No, actually, what's going to happen is you're going to deny me three times. That's what's going to happen." So Peter didn't even understand himself. He thought, "I'll follow Jesus to death." Well, when it actually came down to actually dying, he ran away. He denied. Okay? That's kind of like, we don't even understand ourselves, but God does. Verse 13, "Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins." So there's sins that I do that I don't understand or don't know that I do, but then there's sins that I do fully knowing that it's sin. Fully knowing exactly what I'm doing. Okay? So, Lord, protect me from the sins I don't know about. Protect me from the sins I do know about. Because we do. We even though we know exactly what we're doing, we'll do it anyway. Lord, keep me back from that. It says, "Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. And then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression." Okay, so here's something that David understood. So if I am continuing in this cycle, okay, I'm going to follow after my sin. I know it's sin, and I'm going to do it anyway. You know what? It's going to get worse and worse and worse. It's going to get darker and darker and darker in our lives. Pretty soon, you're not even going to know, how did I get here? How did I end up here? Maybe you know some people that, you know, maybe they were a Christian and they started making some bad choices in their life, and then, I mean, they're down in the pits with the pigs, you know, feeding the husks, eating on the husks of the slop of the pigs. That's what he's talking about. Lord, keep me from myself. Keep me from going that direction. And it says, "They shall not have dominion over me." So my sin does not have to have dominion over me. I have new life in Christ. So he can keep us from that. So David understood that. Finally, verse 14, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." See, he wanted to please God. David wanted to please the Lord in what he said and what he did, what he thought about. He wanted to please the Lord. So that's a desire in him. And God saw that and honored that. And I think it's really interesting too, this psalm, it starts out with the heavens, right? The heavens declare the glory of God. The vastness of the universe, how amazing God's creation is. You know, you talk about the size of these planets and stars and suns. I mean, we're just a tiny little speck in this universe. And David is thinking about this universe that God created. And yet, the psalm ends up with his heart down here. This tiny little speck on this tiny little planet in this tiny little solar system, in this tiny little, you know, the galaxy. Yeah, I mean, just the vastness of the universe that he's considering. And it all comes back down to this, my heart, down here. That's what God's concerned with. So, you know, God has the planets. He's got that all under control. He's concerned about down here.
our souls, what we think about, what we talk about, what we do. That's what's important to God. And, you know, David's desire was to please him in those things. So, that's a few thoughts about David and why he was a man after God's own heart. He was faithful in the little things. He had great devotion for God. He knew that God was preparing him for greater things. He could rejoice in God's creation and see God in everything. He desired the Word of God. He loved the Word of God. And he was concerned about pleasing God in everything that he did. So, any questions or thoughts? And again, I want to say that I don't want to talk this whole time. I open it up for questions or comments. If not, we'll just close in prayer. Would you like to pray for us?
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for another day. We thank you for this time that we have to just sit around and learn more about you. We thank you for the words shared today. We just pray that we'll take them to heart and meditate on them. We pray that we'll be faithful in the things that we have to do. We pray that you'll bless the rest of this week at camp and that you'll keep it in brief. And we pray for this lunch and we pray you'll bless the cooks that have prepared it.
Amen.